Today's Shir in Mishneh Berurah Yomi is Daf Mem Tes Omid Aleph. We're concluding the end of Se'if Chof Gimel, which is found on Mem Ches Omid Beis. We're still in Simen Lamed Beis, talking about the very complicated discussion of the halachos of the parchment and the letters of the parchment. So we left off in the middle of the Mishneh Berurah yesterday in Sif Katan Kuf Yud. We're five lines from the bottom, and the Mishneh Berurah continues, and he tells us, V'yosim is there, and furthermore, above and beyond what we said yesterday, the ba'ofen zeh she'yiposel ha'tfilin machmas ha'revach, we were talking about if a person had wrote a duplicate letter or a duplicate word, and there's a space in between now, and he erases the letter, it wasn't a problem of shelo kisidron, as we explained yesterday, because you didn't really change any of the letters in the right order, you just erased some unnecessary letters. So he says, if the space is more than nine osios, you have a problem. If the space that you now have erased is bigger than what is called a parsha, separating one parsha from another parsha, so then that's a psul. So he says there's a way to correct it even so. Ozafilu im b'siyu matevo shelufana lufanea, if you can somehow extend the letter from the word previous to this, for example, yesham hey o kuf, there's a letter hey which has a left side to it and a kuf which has a left side to it, yochel hamshich gagon, you can stretch their rooftop kidei lemaida revach to make smaller the space, the afa pi aidei hahamshocha lo yaharegel shalahei vakuf bisofa, and now when you extend the roof, you're extending it well beyond where the leg of the hay or the leg of the kuf is, so the leg is no longer at the end of the letter, but it's somewhat in the middle of the letter. Ink paid the bidyevid. This is acceptable bidyevid, so this way you can minimize the space in between the hay and the kuf and the next word, because there's that whole erased word that's now missing, but it's not a problem because the space is diminished. The cost of a prima godim, the beteva kfula, and when you do have an extra word, tov yosa limcho kashnia, better to erase the second of the two words, not the first one. The teva harishona kedin nichta, because the first word was actually written properly. It's the second word that's extra. However, he then points out, in order to correct the large space in kodem harishona yesh oshiach lamashlo, if the earlier word, the previous word to that, had a letter that could easily be extended into the space, then tov yosa shiimchak teva rishona, better to erase the first word that was duplicated, kedei lochosh af ledas Rabbeinu Tam, the shiur parshu gimel osios. Better to do it this way, because the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't hold nine letters is the maximum amount of space that you can have and not be called a psul. He says it's three letters, so better in this situation to erase the first word, extend the last letter from the word before that, and this way have it kosher. Again, this is a little bit complicated to learn outside, and I hope it was clear. Mishneh Berurah in Sif Katan Kuf Yud Aleph explains why it's not a problem of chak tochos. V'lo mivsal ha-parsha mishum chak tochos. It's not called engraving over here. Kim she'en osa ma'isa b'guf ha-tevos osios. All you did was erase. So that's not called engraving, chiseling out, as we talked about a few days ago. That's perfectly acceptable. No problem with shelo kisidron as well. The Mechaber then continues, and he wrote, V'avol imhi be'emsa tevolo. We said if the extra letter was in the middle of a word that you duplicated or wrote in an extra letter, so then you have a problem. Mishum dikashiyigror, when you erase that letter, now the word seems to have two words, yet nire kishtei tevos. You have, let's say, the letter in the middle of the word that's now erased, that was duplicated, so you now have all the letters before that that look like one word, and the letters after that that look like another word, and therefore that's a psul. How do you correct this? So the Mishneh Berurah in Sif Katan Kuf Yud Beis writes, Upa'amin shetikun mo'el ayidei shiyigurena, there's a way to correct this as well by having that space now, but extending the letter right before the space the way we just talked about, so it doesn't look like you now have two words. And then the Mishneh Berurah goes into an arichus, a long digression, telling us examples of this. For example, kagon, la'avosecha, if you have the word la'avosecha, which is normally written without a vav after the vase, however, you wrote by accident the vav, now you have to erase the vav, so you can extend the veis, yigrena, you erase the vav, v'yimshol chabeis, shelofonel, shetamali makoma. You can extend the top and the bottom of the veis into the space, so it'll be an elongated veis, that's not a problem, that's perfectly good. In Dirshu footnote 154, he explains that this is not a problem of shelo kisidron. Why? The Bir Halacha explains, shezeh eino b'chlal kisiva, that's not called the problem of writing, you're just elongating a previously recognizable letter. And in fact, he points out that if a non-kosher person to write tefillin were to erase this, it would still be kosher b'diavad because it's not called writing. However, if you somehow interrupt or change the tzura of the os, then you have a problem. Now it would be writing, and if a non-kosher person wrote it, or now you have the problem of shelo kisidron, it would in fact be posel. Therefore, he brings down in the Sefer Halishkas HaSofer in the name of the Melech HaShemayim that when you do this elongation, you have to do it very carefully, a little bit, so that the tzur of the letter is always quite recognizable and you're not writing, you're just extending. The Mishnah Berurah then goes and tells us many other letters which you can make such adjustments to without ruining the tefillin. For example, he says, if you have a chaf or a dalet or a resh that you can extend the top part, that's also good. However, but if the letter that you're trying to extend is the letter after the space that you erased, and the only way to extend them is by erasing the right side of the letter and then pulling it backwards. For example, if you have the word sa'or, which you spelled with a vav, and it's supposed to be without the vav. So now you erase the vav, and you want to extend the resh backwards. What you have to do is erase the right side of the resh. Now you've changed it, and it's no longer recognizable as a resh. So even though you physically could do that and fill in the space, what you now would have would be shelo kesidron, and it would be no good. The suggestion, he says, ain takon elim ken yochel malos makoma yedei sheyavik tzas o shelofenevah shelachreah. What you can try to do is thicken the right side of the letter resh, or a similar situation if it was the letter beforehand. Sheein bazeh mishum shino yos. It doesn't change the yos, it just thickens the yos and fills in the space so it doesn't look like two words. In Dishu footnote 155, he brings down the Hakesis Sofer, who writes in the name of the Melech HaShemayim as well. You have to be very careful when you extend the resh by thickening it. You have to make sure you don't turn it by accident into a dalet, even for 1 second, because then you have a psul over here and you have shalok yisidron. The Mishnah Berurah continues and says that when you have the space and you're correcting the letter beforehand by extending it, it's much easier because you can often do this by extending the letter without changing it around at all. He does say, Ach yesh listapek, and if you have the word b'matzos harishon, shadino lios chase, you're supposed to spell the word matzos without a vav. Uksovim olim, by accident you wrote it with the vav and then you erased it. He has a question, the moel arichas atzadik lamato acharkach. Can you extend the tzadi from the bottom part out? Because in this way, you can't fill in the space, but since you're not extending the top part, it looks maybe like it's shnei tevos afopishu somcho lamato. Even though it's connected someone in the bottom, it still looks like there's a big space over there. He gives other examples as well. And he concludes, Yesh l'stap b'kim yesh lem tikkun b'harich ha'osh l'fnav l'mat. And he's not sure if this is acceptable to do it this way. Mikom makom, kol shenire, kebeis tevos besula. The bottom line is, if it looks like it's two separate words, it's no good. He further says, Mikom makom l'chadchila einochon lasos kein lavliya os besoch os, ki yesh machmir mizeh. Should be very careful about doing this, that it doesn't look like you have one letter swallowed up within another letter. By extending the bottom, you're entering into the airspace, so to say, of the letter next to it. If you're not careful, there is a machlokis about this. The Dirshu footnote 156 brings down from the Knesset HaGdola against other opinions and Ayin Shom in note 156. Before we conclude this sif, it's kedai to bring down several other halachos that are brought down both in the Halacha Berurah and the Piskei Tshuvos. Halacha Berurah writes, "Bizmanenu noagim rabim in asofrim shelo listapik ba'agos haparshios bi'atzmam achar ksiva." It's not acceptable that we brought down to just have the same sofer review it two or three times before inserting it into the parshios, but many have the custom of giving it over to, he brings down two, others say one, additional experts that are mumchim to go and look at the parshios to read them over, because a person sometimes sees what he wants to, and you can read something and not realize that you wrote an extra word. Your eye is trained to skip over that word. And he says, V'chein roi lahanhig. Furthermore, he says that this obligation is on the sofer, not on the person who buys it. And in fact, the Dirshu footnote 148 brings down that if a person is paying extra for a specially mehudadir pair of tefillin, it absolutely is the chiv upon the sofer to go and point out every single mistake that might be there that was corrected, b'diavad, might not be kosher, because the person is expecting an expert pair of tefillin. The obligation is upon the sofer to make sure that nothing is wrong with the tefillin he's selling, or if there is a problem that was corrected, he should mention it if there's a bidyevet opinion that's being relied upon rather than a lechatchila perfectly good. Furthermore, both the Piskei Tshuvos and the Halacha Berurah and others bring down nowadays that we have computers that can check over a Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs for accuracy to make sure there are no letters missing or extra letters added. So they all bring down, while this is not an absolute chiyav, afal pi she'ein chova, minadin livdo kaparshos b'machashev, you don't have to use a computer. Mikol makom, the Halacha Berurah writes, roi v'nochon l'chol yorei shemayim shivadkem b'machashev. He says, a wonderful idea with the computers. They don't make mistakes. They don't get tired. They don't see what they're not supposed to see. It's a wonderful idea to do it. However, he does point out, this is in addition, ubinosav ala hagas magi mumcha. This is in addition to having a sofer or two look it over, lo bimkoma, not instead of that, because computers also aren't trained to pick up certain things, and therefore one needs to have the best of both worlds by doing both. The Piskei Tshuvos actually brings down some opinions that say you would be obligated to use the computer if it's available. The Roy Vinochon L'chol Yerei Shomayim Lo Aseis L'Bedikah Mechashev Gam Tefillin Mezuzos, and he says it's actually the more appropriate thing to do, as we also just brought down in the name of Halacha Brura. Finally, Dear Shu Note 150 adds that the obligation to have other sofrim who are mumchim and or the computer is me'ikra din achiev today, b'meisha ein lomar. Today you can't say, rov ha-mitzri meitzo kasiva mumchim, most sofrim today are mumchim. It's not true. Ein cheses kashrus ala tvilim, we no longer have the same cheses kashrus that they apparently had in those days, because there is a miyut ha-matzri, there's a significant number of parashos that are not written properly. And furthermore, he adds that this is an obligation on the sofer, shalo lo tzi mitachas yodo, dover shenu mesukun, umuge kalocha. The sofer has the obligation not to sell something, and he cannot rely upon the fact that the person who will purchase it will have it checked and rechecked by somebody else. The obligation is upon the sofer. Now we finally get really to today's Amud, and we're up to Sif Chav Dalet at the end of Memtes Memches Amud Beis. Mutu Lichtov Al Makom Hagerer Val Makom Hamachok Afilu Askara. If there is an array space and you're up to writing the Shem Hashem Kisidron, so there's no problem in writing it in an array space. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Kuf Yud Gimel writes that you should wait till it's dried to do this, because then when it's dried, you'll be able to remove it much more easily. When it's wet, it's called Hamchaka. And Eitz Tova Kamashul, and he's telling us a good idea, wait till it dries, and then it's Girur, it's erasing it, that's a little bit better. Brings down the Prima Gadim as well, the Miyashar Shum Roshim Diot, there's any sort of a residual ink spot over there, Afilu B'Dieved Yesh Chashash, was that even after the fact, it's not 100% sure that it's good. Afilu Teva Be'Alma, the low Askara, also Lichtova Mekomzeh, and even a regular word, not only the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even a regular word shouldn't be written in a space where there is a residual of ink from a previously erased word. The Mechaber continues and writes, "V'lo yimchak bi'odolach ele yiv'yav shenu yofeh." As we already pointed out, you shouldn't erase it while it's moist. It's better to erase it while it's dried out, because ki oz yigare bekal v'lo yishar lo shum rosh, because then it will fully come off the page, the parchment, and there won't be left any residual ink spot over there, which is a problem. Siv Chav Hei, the Mechaber writes, "Kol oz shehi kesuva shelo kesikna." Any letter that's written improperly, the Ein Tzuras Oleh, and it doesn't have the form and shape of that letter, which we'll learn exactly what that is in Siman Lamed Vav, Kegon, for example, Noga Regel La Aleph Begago Aleph, the bottom Yud of the Aleph, we spoke about this a few days ago as well, the bottom left section of the Aleph is really made up of a Yud that's attached to this diagonal line that's going from the bottom right all the way up to the top left. And this yud is not supposed to really touch the line, it's supposed to be very close to it. And if it touches this gag, this diagonal line of the aleph, or the other way around, the yud on the top right, which is supposed to get near but not touching the diagonal line from above, that's called pneya aleph, or pneya aleph baponim bagag shetachteo, or that line comes down, the yud that comes down and attaches to the diagonal. Oh, the Mechaber continues, Shoy regel ha-hei, o regel ha-kuf. If the left side of the hay, the left leg of the hay, or the left leg of a kuf, nogim, go all the way up until the top of the roof, and then in tomorrow's shit, the Mechaber will continue and give a whole bunch of other examples. But let's stop right now and say that in all of these situations that we just said and we'll say tomorrow, is a problem of writing them shelo kisidron, because it's not a good letter now, and if you write any letters there afterwards, before you correct this, you're going to have the problem of writing it out of order, which we already said many times, that you have to write them vayu hadvrim wa'ela, it has to be vayu kichsov, and they have to be kisidron. Now let's go look at the Mishnah Berurah. Sivkot and Kuf Yudad, who gives us three general rules. We don't have time to do this all inside, but we'll do them quickly outside. The Chofetz Chaim explains that there's three general rules here about Shelo Kisidron. This is a very complex subject, he says, and he starts off with Aleph. Number one, if there's a kilkel in the os, if the os is not written properly, whether this occurred while he's writing the os or this occurred afterwards, it appears to somebody looking at this that it's not that right letter. For example, if a yud is missing bottom right part of the yud, or a shin is missing, for example, one of the yuds inside the shin and only has two heads on it, or anything like this, where the mistake is something that it doesn't have the tmuna, the tsura, the form of that letter, afilu ein nidme mishum zele osachay, if it doesn't look like another letter. And then he wrote afterwards another letter, lo mahani shum tikun, this is now called out of order. And this is true even if a young child would read this letter correctly. Afilu hachi posu mishum shelo kisidron. And certainly, if it looks like another letter, for example, a dal looks like a resh, a bez looks like a chaf, etc., the ches has a space on its left side, so it looks like a hey, And he gives other examples of this. Kolki agavne, anything like this. Ein mashkichin alatinok v'lo mahani leitikun. Even if a young child would read it correctly, we don't rely upon that and it's no good. That's rule one. Beis. If, however, there is a mistake in the letter, but it doesn't change the shape of the letter and it's recognizable as the right letter, the letters were not touching in the way that they're supposed to be touching. The yud is supposed to, I misspoke before, the yud is supposed to touch the diagonal line, but not in a thick way. So if it doesn't touch it, but it's very close to it, if a young child would realize what that letter is and read it correctly, then this does help. Mahane zeh, this would help. The nishar lo ikar tzura, so it does have the essential form of the letter, and therefore it's mutter to fix it, and it's not called shalok kisidron. The issue note 157 writes, Shiyeh Shem Oseleh, it essentially has, based upon the Chazon Ish, that it essentially does have the shame of the letter to it, and even though it's missing part of it, it's only missing Ksiva Tam, a perfect type of a script, but it's acceptable by the Evid that's called the letter, and therefore you can correct it, and it's not a problem with Shalok Kisidron. Then the Mishnah Brewer brings down Ofen Shlishi, his third rule, Sha'afa Pi She'ika Tzurosu Yeshul Avetino Korleos, even though it still has the essential form of the letter and even a young child would read it properly, Afilu Hochi Lo Mahani Leshum Tikkun, it's not acceptable to make a correction if you have to erase part of the letter and make it unrecognizable, and now you're writing it in after you've written letters afterwards, because this is now Shalok Kisidron. This is called not in the right order. Because in this situation, you're actually erasing what you wrote and rewriting it again, and this is the problem of Shalok Kisidron. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, we'll now begin to explain the rest of these details, and we'll pick up tomorrow with Sif Katan Kuf Tezvav. This concludes today's shir.